Loneliness is a Christian travesty, and yet there are so many, even within our churches, who are empty and disillusioned, heartbroken, scared, and nervous. It seems that human wreckage is piling up quickly all around us. And the worst thing is to be lonely and lost in the bigness of a crowd. So you see, God in His Word has designed a special solution for that. It's what we call genuine Christian fellowship. And that's our subject. So I hope you've got your pen and paper and pencils, whatever you need to take notes. And let's learn today how to have genuine Christian fellowship. Fellowship that will take away the emptiness and the loneliness and the aloofness. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. We are one big team, one kingdom, one grouping of people that ought to be so closely united in relationship. So let's talk. Let's talk about how to have genuine Christian fellowship. Well, let's first of all look at a definition. Here it is, right out of the Oxford English Dictionary, for the word fellowship. Here it is. A body of fellows, or equals, intimately connected and possessing a spirit of comradeship. Oh, let's do that again. A body of fellows, or equals, intimately connected and possessing a spirit of comradeship. Fellowship, genuine fellowship every Christian should be experiencing. Let's look at one more definition of it. United with another person in a covenant for the meeting of a common goal. Now, it seems to me that in the early church, because being a Christian was outlawed, and you know what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. You see, they didn't have the liberties that we have today. They met in the caves and undergrounds. In fact, I've walked after the bus ride down the Via della Rosa, or not the Via della Rosa, but the Appian Way outside the cities of Rome to the catacombs, and I've walked the miles of underground tunnels where Christians met. They gathered in fear and held hands every Sunday morning. The first day of the week was when they met. And they lifted their voices to worship, and they were afraid to lift their voices too loud. They might be heard because they were slaughtered, hunted down like pigs and cattle. Some of them weren't there. They were missing that week because that week they had lost their lives. And when these are brothers, and our brothers is what they are, you see, the centuries don't separate us from them. They're part of our family. And I can hardly wait to meet them when we get there. How about you? But see, some of them were missing because that week it had cost them their life. They were bound together in a covenant for a common end. How sweet their fellowship was. How necessary it was. How deep, how rich, how flowing. They could hardly wait to get to church on Sunday, to wrap their arms around one another, to find out, how did it go for you this week and what happened? But back here in our modernism, in our sloppy, slothful American style of Christianity, I'm afraid fellowship is sort of in the way of another agenda we got. And we're missing that camaraderie that ought to be an integral part of having genuine Christian fellowship. So let's learn what genuine Christian fellowship is about. First of all, it's about a relationship with Christ. I want you to see this first. Look at it with me. God is faithful, look at it, by whom you were called. Now watch what you were called into. You were called, look at it here, called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You were called to fellowship. Christian fellowship begins with a relationship with Christ. If you take Christ out of Christian fellowship, it's no longer Christian fellowship. You see, many Christians have fellowship that is not Christian fellowship. That is to say, their fellowship with others has little or nothing to do with Christ. They may be brought together, fellowshipping around a particular restaurant, a particular sport, or an activity that they may mutually enjoy. And what holds them together now is that they both like football, so they've got that common ground. But that's not Christian fellowship. What unites two Christians together is a lot deeper than that. It's fellowshipping around this central figure in human history, Christ. Christ, the center of Christian fellowship. Christ, the common ground that we have. Christ, the connection between us. Christ, the common connector, if you please. You see, that's why this is an important question to ask you. Are you connected to Him? Are you connected? Because Christian fellowship begins with a relationship with Christ. The stronger our relationship with Christ, the stronger our relationship with fellow Christians. But if that connection is weak, then the fellowship is sort of mediocre as well. Now that leads us to the next thing we must learn about genuine fellowship. And that is that genuine fellowship is not just with Christ, but it is with Christians. I want you to take a look at this verse. Here's what it says. That which we have seen and heard, this is John speaking, who knew best about fellowship. And he said, we declare unto you, now watch this, that you also, watch this now, may have fellowship with us. Now watch this, don't miss the scripture. Fellowship with us. Now watch this. And truly, now the basis of this horizontal fellowship among Christians, here it is. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, genuine fellowship, genuine Christian fellowship starts with a fellowship relationship with Christ and then with one another. You know, that's part of what communion services are all about. I've been to communion services where there was no communing. You see, communion is not only spiritual, but communion is social. Communion isn't just something we do. We take the bread, as we should, and the fruit of the vine, the grape juice. Not alcohol. We don't use alcohol. That doesn't properly represent the blood of Jesus. You know that, don't you? We take the fruit of the vine. That's what Jesus called it. And the bread. And it isn't just having this, well, let's all drink at the same time, eat at the same time to the Lord. But the scripture says that when you come together to do this, that we are to tarry one for another. Communion is social. So when I take the bread and the cup, I should come to you and you should have a bread and the cup. And before we eat it together, I look at you and I am to discern that you are a member of the body of Christ. Oh, do you understand that? That before we eat together and drink together, because communion is something you do together. If you're not doing it together, there's no communing in the communion, except in the vertical dimension. And we are not just to have the vertical dimension, although we are to have that, we also have the horizontal. That's what the cross is about, you see. The cross is a horizontal beam elevated by a vertical. And in that symbol, there is so much meaning. One of those symbols is that of our fellowship has been lifted out of the commonness, if you please, the commonness of a sport that we both like or a television program we both like. But our connection has to do with blood. Has to do with the body of Jesus. And before I take this, I am to discern that, in fact, you are a member of the body of Jesus. And if I discern that that's what you are, you see, then I treat you just like I would treat Jesus because you are the body of Jesus. And then gazing at one another, perhaps a hand on a shoulder, perhaps a word of encouragement or even a prayer, we each take the bread And before we eat it, we remember the symbol, that this bread is a symbol of the broken body of Christ. And that's the basis of what we now have as Christian fellowship. And then we take the cup, symbol of his blood, and we drink it, because both of us have been washed clean by the precious blood of Jesus and brought into this bond. And now we have fellowship vertically, yes, but we have fellowship with one another. And Christ is that common person, and he brings to us common beliefs. And now we have common values, and we have common behaviors and common goals. And listen, we even have a common destiny, and that destiny is eternal. This is how deep, my friends, do you understand how deep Christian fellowship should be? Begins with Christ and then with one another. Now, you also need to understand with me that genuine Christian fellowship is a continued relationship. It's not just something you start and stop. Like, you know, some people stop and start being a Christian. And you know, there's two schools of thought. Some people think you can start and lose your salvation and get it back and lose it, you know, and they get born again and again and again and again. Over here, think once you got, you can never lose it. And we got these two antagonism. In fact, these group over here have somebody said they have a song. There's a new name written down in pencil because they think every time they get saved, the Lord writes their name down and then they backslide and he rubs it out. Not that so at all. But neither is the other. The balance is always in the middle. It has to be a continued, not a stop and start relationship, either with Christ or with your Christian brothers. This has been called, I think it was Vance Packard that called our contemporary and modern society, the term he used was the rootless society. People put down roots and just the job lasts 8 months, or they get in some kind of trouble and they move to another city or across the continent to the other side of America, or another part of the world for that matter, and put down new roots that only last rootless. And we're always picking them up and putting them down. I want to suggest to you that Christian fellowship involves long-term continued relationship. Look at the scripture. And they continued, referring to the apostles, look at this, in doctrine. Now watch this. They continued, I don't want you to miss this, in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Genuine fellowship is a continued relationship. And then it's an exclusive relationship. Look at this scripture. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Look at the question. What fellowship hath right with wrong? It just can't happen. How can light and dark get together? They can't. In fact, look, scripture says, how can Christ and false gods come together? They can't. Christian fellowship, genuine, requires an exclusivity to it, and there are those who are so against what we are. Rather, they are so against what Christ is that, in fact, we can't fellowship together. Look at the next verse. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now remember, look at this next phrase. Because you are the temple of the living God. God no longer lives in a manufactured, man-made, brick-and-mortar building. He lives in people. He lives in you. You are the temple of the living God. And how can this temple have anything to do with idols? See, God comes along and says, I'm going to dwell. Look, isn't this, I'm telling you, this is so wonderful. Look at this scripture. He says, I will dwell in you. Look at this. I will walk in you. I will be your God and you will be my person. Oh, this is so delightful. Can you imagine the blessed entrance of God right into humanity? And if you've never experienced that, I want you to know that if you pray the prayer of changing the lordship of your life from self-rule to Christ's rule, that Jesus Christ will come right walking out of the pages of this book right into your life and live in you. And that's what God says. I will live in you and you will be my people. Look at the next verse. So for this reason, come out from among those who are going the wrong way, influencing the wrong way. Look at this. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and don't even touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And look what he says, and I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons, and you will be my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. He even says in another place, look at this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know why? You see, this is an exclusive relationship. We have to leave the darkness behind, and we can't get along with them. People who are against Jesus, we can't get along with them. Now, we need to contact them. We need to be talking to them and loving them. Yes, we do, loving them. Absolutely, we love them. But fellowship doesn't work. They can't mix, because when we're among them, our job is to be salt and to reprove them. It's even a shame, the scripture says, to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Well, then, genuine fellowship has to do with the fact that we have a common nationality. Watch this now. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And though we haven't got time to go on more of the verses, I want you to understand that the scripture is plain that when we got born into this new kingdom, we are now a new nation. Look at this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Look at this. You are now a holy nation, a peculiar people. A peculiar person, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God and have obtained mercy. Now, genuine fellowship also has to do with the fact that we have a common mission. Look at this scripture. We are workers together with Christ. Hey, look at this now. That's part of fellowship. We're on the same team, doing the same task, working together with one another and with him. Look at this scripture, because these are phrases right out of the Bible. We're called, look at this, fellow helpers, fellow laborers, fellow servants, fellow prisoners, if you please. Remember what Paul said? He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He wasn't just talking about in jail together. He was talking about, wow, the Lord has us in his grip and he's never going to let us go. Look at this next. We're called fellow soldiers. We're called fellow workers. And look at this. We're called fellow heirs. We're all in this together, one team working on the same side. And we're going to last together forever. Now look at this. Genuine Christian fellowship has to do with having genuine care for one another. Look at this. Praying, look at this, us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And look at this now. Take upon us the fellowship. What fellowship? Look at this. The fellowship of ministering to the saints. So we're bound together. It's part of genuine Christian fellowship that we are joined together. Together, together. Isn't it delightful? Now, let's look at this one more time. Genuine Christian fellowship, watch this now, begins with a relationship with Christ. Then it's a relationship with Christians. Then it's a continued relationship. Then it's an exclusive relationship. Not everybody can be part of it, because there is a criteria. Come out from among them, be separate, be clean. Don't touch the unclean thing, I will receive you, saith the Lord. And then he says, we are a common nationality. And that, in fact, we're bound together by a common mission and by common care for one another. And then let me throw this one in, a common destiny. That's what makes for genuine Christian fellowship. Well, you may be asking, well, that's all nice, that's theoretical, Brother David. How can I have genuine Christian fellowship? So let's close with some instruction from the scripture on this subject of how you can have this kind of fellowship. Number one, we need to recognize that fellowship is a function of the Spirit. That is to say, we're not just joining with people's intellectual ideas or their emotions, but this is a heart-to-heart relationship. It's spirit to spirit. Look at the scripture with me. Therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, watch this now, if any comfort of love, now watch this, if any fellowship of the Spirit, now in a moment we're going to find out how to have the fellowship, because the rest of the scripture gives us the other six elements on how to have fellowship. But watch it now, not just any old fellowship, this is the fellowship of the Spirit. Not just a fellowship of the Holy Spirit and our spirit, but the fellowship of spirit to spirit. Do you understand that this genuine Christian fellowship of which we're speaking just now is the fact that you and I are connected by something that's so deep, so strong, so powerful that we cannot be separated by time or distance? That we have a bond. We refer to them as the bonds of Calvary. Stronger than the biggest chain man has ever made. Nobody can break this chain that joins us with him and joins us with one another, of course, except we ourselves. But understand, this is a fellowship of the Spirit. Oh, I hate to rush on, because the real loneliness in life, the emptiness, is to not be bound together with somebody of common spirit, common, if you please, Holy Spirit. Now, out there in the world, they got lots of fellowship. That's what they do in the bars. They're fellowshipping, but around the wrong spirits. But we're called out of that because, you see, alcohol is a substitute for the Holy Spirit. That's the world's substitute. What God wants you and I to have when we come together is this unity of spirit. It's a fellowship of spirit. Well, what is the second step? Here it is that we are to be like-minded. Look at the scripture with me. Fulfill ye my joy. Now watch this. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, having the same attitudes, coming together spirit to spirit. And watch this now. You see, because Jesus is the common center of your life and the center of my life, we have Jesus, but we also have his words, we have his values, his beliefs, we have his doctrines, we have his directions. We've got a lot holding us together, and this scripture says we better have his attitudes as well. Christ-likeness in our attitudes. Well, the third element to having genuine fellowship is not just to recognize this is a fellowship of spirit and to be like-minded, but look at this. It's to have, look at this, the same love. Look at the scripture. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Look at the next instruction, having the same love. What kind of love is that? Oh, it's passionate love. It's fervent love. In fact, 1 Peter 4 comes along and said, the end of all things at hand. Be therefore sober, watch under prayer, but above everything else have fervent love among yourselves. For love shall get over a multitude of sins. You know what the historians said of the early Christians? Oh, how they loved one another. This is precisely what Jesus was talking about when he taught us that the very proof, the most fundamental proof of genuine Christianity is this love. Here's what he said. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love. Not indifference. That is opposed to love. Well, the fourth thing is be of one accord. Look at this, being of one accord. That's what they were on the day of Pentecost. Remember, they were all with one accord. What does that mean? Well, I don't know a lot about piano playing, but I know there's a middle C. I know they tune it. I think it's what's called 440. And then all the other notes are put into right relationship with that middle C so that when you strike a chord, it sounds like it's in harmony. And Christ is the middle C, and we all need to be in harmony with him. And that puts us in harmony with one another, be in one accord. Well, then it says that we should have one mind. Look at this, of one mind. Now, this is really tough. But look at this. How can this be possible? Because the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, if the same mind is in you that's in me, we're the same. And if you've got the mind of Christ, I got the mind of Christ, we got it together. And then number six, the scripture says we are to esteem one another. Look at the scripture. Let nothing be done through vainglory, but in, look at this, lowliness of mind, let's esteem each other better than ourselves. Learning how to esteem one another will help that genuine Christian fellowship. And the seventh instruction that's given to us, look at this. Don't look on your own things, but the things of others. Replace self-centeredness with love. If you'll follow these seven steps on how to have genuine fellowship, Christian fellowship, you'll not only have fellowship, but they'll know that we are Christians by our love.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/see. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.